You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we're honored to be here with you. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. So we're blessed to be here with you. Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stewart. We have it. It won't be long, Pastor Don. It's going to be 25 years. And God gave us the name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And we're right here in Stewart, Florida. So we welcome all you, greet you to our program as we're on every Saturday for this hour. So we hope you get something out of this, and we trust you will if you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to tell you even today. So hallelujah. We're glad to be here with you. So Pastor Don, you got anything you want to announce? We're going to show a video this afternoon that might be interesting.
What's that about?
I got a series that Perry Stone did way back. I think is really incredible. And there's 5 DVDs on it, so we can't see it all tomorrow, but I'm going to take them one at a time.
Awesome.
And it's a revelation about the catching away of the church in a really good way. We talked about a little bit last week about another man who wrote an incredible article about it. And there's so much doubt and unbelief about it now. We need to have some things out with the truth. And so Perry went through the whole thing with these 5 DVDs, and there was a workbook with it I had. And I remember when I went through it, it's an incredible teaching. It's well done. And so we're going to share some things out of that. And we might wind up doing somebody here on the radio program.
He's an excellent teacher.
Sure.
And, you know, so many people nowadays are really even teaching that there's not going to be a catching away.
That's right. Or until the end. Yeah.
Until the end. But we certainly do believe that's going to happen at the beginning.
7 years before the end.
That we will even know who the Antichrist is.
That's right.
But, you know, maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. You're right. Because people need to know that there's a hope. There's a blessed hope. And those who are in Christ Jesus that are looking for His return.
That's right.
You know, the book of Revelation talks about He's coming for those who are looking for His return.
That's right.
And seeking the truth and the holiness. You know, and, you know, not the whole truth is really... they say they are, but, you know,
a lot of different opinions. Are they the truth, though? Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of different lifestyles, but, you know, there's only one lifestyle if you're following the Lord, and that means you have to follow the Word of God. And, that's going to be great. So that's this afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Right.
I also want to mention that we have service on Sunday, and that's at 10 a.m., and we also have meet together on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm.
Friday nights, we have our Shabbat service on Friday nights, and we spend time in prayer and seeking God's face and soaking in His presence. And, you know, that's what we need to be soaking more and more, I think, in His presence.
We need to be saturated, don't we?
We need to be saturated.
That's right, boy.
So I want to mention that we are here in Stewart, Florida. If anybody'd like to come and visit us, we're on Cantor Highway in the Monterey Plaza, and you can Google Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and it'll take you right to us, right to the shopping plaza.
That's good.
And so we're right next to the Save-A-Lot Group food store, so right there in the Monterey Plaza in Stewart on Cantor Highway and Monterey Road. So that's every weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Most Saturdays, not every Saturday, but we take off one Saturday a month, and that will be next week, I believe.
Next week. We'll be off next Saturday. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So come visit us. And I also want to mention that we're on the internet. We also do Facebook Live. We do our services on Facebook Live. So if you'd like to Facebook us, you can do that as well. So I want to mention, Pastor Gene, that anybody who's driving down the highway and they want to listen to this, or maybe they're only going to catch part of the program, they can go to WCNO.com and they can listen to any number of programs, and ours is one of them. It's on every Saturday from 12 until 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. in the afternoon. So you can go to their podcasts and look for Raising the Standard. That's what this radio broadcast is called, Raising the Standard with Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. That's every Saturday at 12 noon. So it's, people anywhere in the world can listen to us. So you may be down here just for a vacation or down here just for a holiday. So if you will go home and you can listen to us again, amen, mm-hmm. whenever you like. So that's a blessing. So I want to give our telephone number. Our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Thank you, Lord.
We want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island.
Hallelujah.
We've been getting a lot of rain, but we need rain, don't we?
That's right.
We need the rain of the Spirit.
That's right.
That's
big
for
time,
sure.
Yeah.
We need that. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we've been talking a lot about the Holy Ghost, and just because we may even talk about it today, but we need the Holy Ghost every day of our lives. Actually, the Holy Ghost, whenever we're reading or studying the Word of God, the Holy Ghost is the one who brings the truth to us.
That's
it shows
right.
us the deeper things
Hallelujah.
Of God.
Hallelujah. That's right.
So we all need the Holy Ghost.
More amen. Of Him and less of us.
More and more. Amen.
That's right.
He'll lead us in all truth. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And teach us the things that things to come, even.
That's right.
Shows us things to come.
So today I want to go to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to cover some things in 16 and 17. And there's several topics here that's very important. We can, in just a handful of verses that we can talk about, but I want to key in on something in chapter 17. But I just want to go to chapter 16 to start with, and we'll bring us up to chapter 17 as well. So if you got ears to hear today, make sure you open up your heart and listen. And no matter what you've been taught, just look and see what the Scripture says. I keep telling people that. It doesn't matter what we believe. It's what the Word of God says. And a lot of people
Amen.
Have a false interpretation of a lot of it, and we hate to see that, but that happens a lot. So where I'm going to start reading here is in chapter 16 of Matthew. This is, I'm going to start in verse 21. It says, remember Jesus charged his disciples and told them that what was going to happen, and that he was going to give the disciples and also Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven. There's lots of different keys to get people into the kingdom of God. We know that. And then in verse 20, he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus Christ, the Christ, the anointed Messiah. Now, verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Hallelujah.
So we can see he was going to suffer things from the elders.
That's right.
And from the, mm-hmm. the priests and
That's
the scribes.
Right. His own people, yeah.
His own people, the yeah. religious people. Mm-hmm. He was going to suffer.
That's right.
And be killed.
That's right. And then verse 22 says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine this?
Mm-hmm.
Saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Well, then the Lord was, of course, stood up because he knew what his purpose and destiny was all about. And verse 23, but he turned and said it unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, he's not calling Peter Satan, but he knew Satan was talking through him. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Boy, he really got on him. Now, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever, we're all whosoever's, aren't we, if we're born
mm-hmm.
again? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. This life is talking about the Zoe life that we have, the God-sustained life. But the main thing, our life, is in the, this is the psuche in the Greek. It's our thoughts, our intellect, our belief system, everything is in that. So he's telling us if we'll just lay down our personal life and lose it and come to Him, well, then we're going to have our life saved. So that's what we want, and that's what He's trying to tell us. So we got to lay down our life, and whosoever will do that will lose his personal life, his desires and all that, for my sake shall find it. And then verse 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Wow. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And then he makes an interesting statement here in verse 28. Verily, I say unto you, there be some, I didn't say all, there will be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in the kingdom. And when we go into chapter 17, we're going to find out three of the men that were there was Peter, James, and John. So there was a group all together. The disciples were together. But he said there's going to be some of them that will not taste death till they see the Son of Man. This kind of sets up what's going to happen in chapter 17.
Well, before we go on,
go ahead.
It's verse 26 talks about the soul.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our soul will live.
That's right.
Our
forever.
Soul has a life that will That's live right. forever. Mm-hmm. So when people, you know, die, their soul isn't gone.
Nope.
No, the soul will live forever.
That's
in
right.
one of two places. But it was interesting over here in 23 where you said, get thee behind me, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said this to
Peter.
Said this when Peter spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, Peter didn't think that those men would do those kind of things. Well, you know, we don't think people will do things, will
yeah.
do bad things.
That's right.
He said, it's basically saying, you know, well, that's never going to happen. They're holy people. They're not going to do that type of thing. And Jesus said, you know, so he was speaking out of his own thoughts and his own mind. But Jesus had the revelation, and he knew that they were wicked. Because he knew their hearts. He knew the hearts of these
That's right.
these scribes and elders and chief priests and Pharisees and Sadducees. He knew all their hearts, you know. And so he was saying to him, Satan, thou art an offense to me. Because Satan was trying to, was speaking through Peter a lie.
That's right.
And you know, Satan still speaks through people lies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He said, and then, you know, Jesus went on and said, but those that be of men, he didn't say man, he says men.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a lot of men, not just one man coming against Yeshua, Jesus, but a lot of men coming against him.
And we have the same thing today.
Right, and then he changes, there's a new paragraph. Then he talks about if any man, any mm-hmm. singular, it's singular,
That's right.
any person, any one person.
You got
if
it.
If any one person will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Well, so that shows me that every person has a cross to take up
mm-hmm.
for their life, because God has given every person a plan. He has a destiny, a plan for every person's life. And so if we're going to follow after Him, follow after Jesus, then we have to deny ourselves
mm-hmm.
and we have to do what? Take up our cross and follow Him.
That's right.
And He goes on and says, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Well, this is a very strong verse here. And whosoever will lose his life, for what? For Christ's sake.
That's right.
Will find it, and their soul will be saved. So
mm-hmm.
our soulish desires and our will to self must die.
Mm-hmm.
It has to come behind the cross. We have to pick up our cross, and we have to see only the cross and the plan that we're to carry our cross. So that means that, you know, not just Jesus carried his cross, but he's given
us
to carry a cross.
And they're not all the same, are they? They're all different sizes.
No, he said, take up your cross.
That's right.
And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And then it does talk about the cross. The cross is so important because we have to lay everything down at the foot of the cross, foot of Jesus, and take up our own cross and follow Him.
That's right.
Yeah, and because we're going to have a reward if we do that.
That's right.
We're going to live forever. So that soul is going to live forever. It talks in verse 26. It talks about that. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
That's right.
What are you going to give for your soul?
Yeah.
All the
desires
pleasures
of
this world? Will only last for a short time.
That's right.
And then we know the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his
Hallelujah.
Angels. I've been thinking about angels a lot because, you know, there are lots and lots of angels, mm-hmm. and they're messengers, and there's warring angels, there's angels of mercy, there's all kinds of angels. And we need to ask the Lord to disperse these angels. We do that when we pray, when we have intercession. We talked mm-hmm. about that in our prayer meeting, about asking the Lord to send angels, you know, for protection, even protecting angels and warring angels.
That's right.
Amen?
Absolutely.
Glory to God.
There's a lot in just those few verses in there, Pastor.
A lot to tell us about how we ought to live, you know.
That's right.
We got to die to ourselves. And, you know, that's not easy.
Nope.
But when we follow after the Lord and we seek Him and we know the truth, the Bible says the truth is going to make us free.
That's right. So we mentioned this verse 28 here mm-hmm. about, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud. Well, we know there's none of those could live long enough to see Christ come in His kingdom. But these next few verses in chapter 17 gives us a clue why this was spoken by Jesus, because there was three men that were going to get an opportunity to get the glimpse of the glory of God and the kingdom, and that was Peter, James, and John. So we go into chapter 17 now.
And you know, in 17, I believe that Jesus has given us a key, and there's a lot of keys to the kingdom.
Sure.
We need to find the keys to the kingdom, and I think He's given us a key.
That's right.
By using a number.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Pastor Gene. So, and after 6 days.
Yeah, this is key. The very first verse here says that after 6 days. Now, prophetically, if we look at this, what we're going to see prophetically, this is talking about after 6,000 years. Okay.
That's right.
Jesus taketh, he's revealing what's going to happen in the future. Jesus taketh what? Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth him up unto a high mountain apart, and was transfigured. His glory came out before mm-hmm. them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, and the King James, or Elijah, talking with him. So he saw these two men, what, in the spirit. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias or Elijah. So here we are. What an amazing vision that they had in the spirit of these two men that was going to be there at that particular time. And so Jesus was trying to convey to them personally what was going to happen, but also for our benefit, as we read the scriptures, what's going to happen in the future. And so we're going to mention here and show you with this, He's going to show us the three groups that will go into the kingdom of God at the end, after the 6,000 years, and how it will happen, okay? So I think this is very important to look at this.
And after 6,000, after 6 days, after 6,000 years.
Right.
You know, my Bible has after all capitals.
That's right.
So it's emphasizing, you know, this is, it's bold. After 6,000
years. 6,000 years from the day
Jesus,
that Adam was up put
right.
on here.
He's going to come back in His glory.
That's right.
Amen. And it's showing us that also about Moses and Elias.
That's right. That's right. So this is really
we'll
interesting.
We'll be there as well.
That's right. So now what we want to look at here for a moment, you know, Peter right away, when he saw this, he knew that he was having a vision about the kingdom of God. And so this is why in verse 28 of chapter 16, that Jesus told him, all of them, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Well, Peter, James, and John got to see that at that particular time. So, and of course, Peter got so excited because he thought about the kingdom of God. So why would he make this statement? Let us make here three tabernacles, because prophetically what? Tabernacles refers to what? The kingdom of God. That's what it's
That's
all
right.
about. Points about the kingdom of God. Make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Now verse 5. While yet he spake, who's this? Jesus. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples...
So who spoke that?
Spirit of God. Came.
Was that God? Was that the Holy Ghost? But
yeah.
it was the Godhead.
The voice. It came out of the cloud.
It came out of the cloud. So,
right.
You know, I believe it's probably God.
Yeah.
Yahweh who said that. You know, because he said, this is my son, didn't he?
That's
well,
right.
Whose son is he?
That's right.
He's the Father's son.
This is my
so
beloved
this
son.
This is the
yeah.
Father
yeah.
speaking.
Yeah. That's right.
speaking. To they could hear the Father's voice. And I think about this, You know, God spoke many times in the Bible, and people heard his voice. And we talked about this last week, how he spoke from the mount. And here we are, another mount, you know, in the Spirit. And so he took them up to a mount, a very similar picture to Pentecost here. Right. Mm-hmm. Because God spoke with a what?
Voice.
A voice. So here we have the Father speaking again and telling them, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
He says, "Hear ye him."
Hear
right?
him.
Listen to him, right? And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were afraid.
Sore afraid.
That's right. Sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Rise and be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. So the vision disappeared. He didn't see them. He didn't see Moses and Elijah anymore. Now verse 9 says, "And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must come first?" See, Elijah was in this vision, so they're asking Jesus now, "Why then say the scribes that Elias must come first?" Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's go back and think about these two men that appeared in the Spirit to them, Moses and Elijah. And we're talking about the groups that will go into the kingdom of God at the end. Well, the first one we see here is Moses, right? Moses is an example of those that will die, be roasted in the grave, of course, and go into the kingdom of God. Well, we know Elijah, he never died. He was caught off the earth. So here's another group. There'll be a group, and we're getting close to that, I believe with all my heart, that will be caught off the earth and enter into the kingdom of God in their physical bodies that will be changed into immortality. Isn't that amazing when you think about it?
But you know, the Father, God allowed these two men
to
show up, to be there.
That's right.
With Yeshua.
That's
these two men. One man who died.
And
God buried him, actually.
That's
it doesn't
right.
say,
because
the people couldn't find his body. They weren't looking for his body.
They're still looking for where he's buried.
They don't know. and then also Elijah, who never died.
That's
so
right.
God allowed these two actual people, and they were actual people, to be seen.
As they
actually looked in the past.
Right.
Can you imagine? As they actually looked in the past, mm-hmm. they were there. Now, they talk about these holograms and all these things that they're doing now, you know, all these modern things, how you can be sitting here, yet somebody can see you in a hologram somewhere else. That's all this knowledge that's coming to pass, coming nowadays. But, you know, in the power of the Lord, he caused this to happen way back then,
mm-hmm.
that those people, it wasn't just a hologram of them, if I'm saying that word right, it was the actual person of
in
these
the spirit,
two people,
right, I saw, yeah.
He actually allowed them to come down, and they actually saw them. I believe they were actually there, and they saw Moses and Elijah there standing with Jesus in their glory, glory.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they disappeared. They went back. They went back. But God was able to. Maybe God has supernatural holograms. I don't know. But those people, I believe that Moses and Elijah, they looked exactly the way they looked when they were living. Right there they were standing. Now, they may have been in white, they're in glowing white robes and things like that, but they were the actual two people that God allowed, or God decided. He chose them. He chose Elijah to not to die. And he also chose the time of when Moses was going to die.
That's right.
But wasn't going to be able to be found by the people, by
That's
men.
That's right. Even though they looked and looked, they couldn't find him.
No.
The thing that always... I thought in my heart reading all this was, how did they recognize Moses and Elijah when they never saw them? So God did something with him in the spirit to realize that Moses appeared and also the prophet Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an interesting thought here showing the people that will go into the kingdom of God and how they will get there. Well, we know there's going to be the majority of people that come to Christ from the time he was on the earth. They will be resurrected out of their graves. And they'll go to heaven, okay? And they'll be seen that
And then
way.
They saw Yeshua transformed right in their
right in their midst.
Before them, right
That's
in
right.
front of them. They saw this miracle
yeah.
of transformation.
So Peter thought they were in the kingdom.
White
yeah.
remnant, this
That's
white,
right.
great, bright,
mm-hmm.
bright light. You know, people who have had visitations or they've gone to heaven in the spirit, they say the light is so bright, it's so white and so bright that you can't look into it.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Elijah here. He also appeared, okay?
And they were actually talking.
That's right.
You know, they weren't just standing there. Mm-hmm. It says they were talking actually with him. Talking
with
him.
With Yeshua, yeah.
Yes. So they were conversing. They were talking. They were alive.
That's right. Too bad we couldn't find. They didn't write. Jesus didn't tell us what they had to say to him. You know, it's not here, but they were talking to him. And then, of course, Peter, right away, he thought they were what? In the kingdom of God. So these are the three men that chapter 16, verse 28 talked about. Would not see death until they saw the glory of the kingdom of the God, Son of Man coming in His kingdom, and so that.
So they must have these disciples must have heard them talking.
I'm sure they did.
Must have heard them talking. Yeah. You know, you wonder what language they were talking
in. That's right.
I believe Hebrew is a perfect language, so yeah. We don't really know, but I would probably believe that was Hebrew, mm-hmm. and did they understand what they were saying?
Right.
You know, they don't tell us, but you know, and sometimes it's people, it's too holy
right.
to talk about.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So we don't really know what they were saying.
That's right.
Wouldn't you have liked to have been standing there and
That's
wonder
right.
if the disciples understood exactly what they were saying? I imagine they may have and may have not have. I don't know, but wow, it's very awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, Moses is the example here. Is that he was allowed to be appeared to them, and they saw him. Of the majority of the people that would come to Christ and would die in a physical body and be resurrected. Well, then Elias is the one that he was caught off the earth. He never died. So there's going to be a group also. Bible makes it clear that there'll be a group at that particular time, just before Jacob's trouble. I believe it will happen that. There's going to be a huge number of people in the body of Christ that's been walking with the Lord that's just going to be caught off the earth at that particular time. So we have Moses, the pictures of those that will go into the kingdom, and, you know, as resurrected bodies. Elijah, those that are caught away. And then we have Peter, James, and John. They're showing those in their physical bodies. There'll be a group of people that will survive Jacob's trouble and go into the kingdom in their physical bodies, like we're sitting in right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
those are the three groups. It's interesting. So three is an interesting number here again. So this is a very interesting what was revealed, and so they were a little, you know, they were marveled. In fact, it says what happened. They fell on their face and were sore afraid.
They were afraid.
And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. So Moses and Elijah disappeared in the vision.
So during seven, and what it says when Jesus came and touched them,
mm-hmm.
I just kind of see in the spirit, Jesus stepped out of that place where he was at with these
That's
other
right.
two in the spiritual realm.
That's
and
right.
came back to the natural realm.
And touched them. That's right.
Because they were so afraid, they fell on their faces. They weren't looking up. They could not look into their faces,
That's
you
right.
know. And so when after Jesus touched them, then they looked, you know, they lifted their head, lifted up their eyes, and they saw only Jesus.
That's
know?
Right. So we know that this all happened before Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, right?
Yes, and now he tells them not to tell anyone.
That's right. He says right here in verse 9, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Because they all questioned that. That's the third time that he told them that. And his disciples ask him, saying, this is where we stopped off a little bit ago, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? Questioning what they just saw in the spirit, okay? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias, or Elijah, truly shall, what? First come and restore all things. Now this is very key. I mentioned this in church the other day. But I say unto you that Elias or Elijah is come already. Listen to this. He's already come. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is sick. Remember the next thing that happened?
The lunatic.
The lunatic. So we're going to stop there. I want to go back to these other verses. Verse 13 was key. After Jesus said this to them about Elijah had already come, then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist came to prepare the word. The word and also the word of God, which is going to be Yeshua himself come. And we can see that over in Malachi, that he was a messenger that was sent to do what? To prepare the way of the Messiah. And so the Jewish people have this thought, because they haven't come to the New Testament, most of them, to read this. But it tells you in Malachi that there will be Elijah that's going to come. But is it going to be the Elijah that was taken off the earth? God's going to bring him back to earth, put him back in a human body again, and then he'd have to die or be caught off the earth
come
again.
Come back in a spirit body.
That's
God
right.
only knows.
That's right. We don't know. So he was making it real clear to them, and they realized finally that he was talking about that John the Baptist was the Elijah to come, and I believe he was. Amen?
So you believe that he is speaking, telling us, too, that there's going to be some that will die and will be raised,
mm-hmm.
and there's going to be some that will never die
mm-hmm.
and will be changed.
That's right.
And this is all going to happen after 6,000 years.
That's
well,
right.
Aren't we just about at that point right now?
We're getting close to 6,000 years, right. And then there's going to be a time called Jacob's Trouble.
If not that, because it doesn't mm-hmm. say at 6,000 years, it says after.
That's right.
It says after 6,000 years.
And that's been completed,
years.
That's right.
So the way people figure things, if Jesus was born on the 4,000th year, which we can prove that.
Right.
And we've gone 2,000 years from his birth.
Almost, not
but
quite.
But not
close.
From his death.
That's right.
So if we're looking at from his birth, we're past the 6,000
right.
years. If we're looking at from his death, we're not quite to the 6,000
right.
years,
mm-hmm.
just a few years away.
Yeah.
But it's not. It doesn't say at 6,000 years.
Just
it says after 6,000 years.
Right.
Now, how far after 6,000 years? Is it 1 year, 2 years, 10 years? We don't know exactly how, but it's got to be at least 6,000 years plus. Plus a day?
Because Jacob's trouble is going to be in there too
after
6,000 years.
Right. So we're going to look, that's right.
For 7 years.
Because the catching away happens before Jacob's trouble.
Right.
So then we're going to go another seven years. And then there'll be other raptures along the way, which we maybe, you know, that might be a good thing for us to teach on sometime, Pastor Gene, because some people think there's only one
catching away,
but there are several that happen. The first catching.
Well, I wouldn't call them catches and catching away. There'll be some other resurrections.
Resurrections.
Catchings away. There's only one catching away, but there's going to be at least five other resurrections that's going to tie in with all this.
Because the dead, the martyrs, will
right.
die during the 7 years.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't want to get us all confused on where you're going, but there's going to be the first one of the multitude of people will be the catching away,
yeah.
which people call the rapture of the church.
And that's right. And, of course, at that time, there'll also be all the dead in Christ.
All
the
dead
time
in
that Christ was on
the
earth. They will be resurrected out of their bodies and put in a supernatural body. And then it tells
which
you...
is the picture of
it
Moses.
It tells you in 1 Thessalonians, right? Then immediately after that, what? We that are alive and remain in Christ will be caught off the earth.
And that's the picture of Elijah.
That's right.
Moses who died and Elijah who never died. But that will all happen within, a twinkling of an eye.
Real quick, yeah.
Well, it's not going to be within a day or two. No,
that's
it's going to happen bang, bang.
All it was that Paul...
Well, those that are dead will
right.
come up.
Right.
And they have to come up, and then we meet. They come up out. They're on the ground level, in the air, and they're going to be in the air. And we meet them in the air.
That's right.
So we go zoom. We're going to zoom up there. And we'll meet them in the air. So here we be those that are alive and those that were dead, all together in the air. Look like a cloud of witnesses, won't we?
Right.
All look like a cloud of witnesses.
That's why Paul made it clear over there. It's first, the dead in Christ, and it's going to be an instantaneous thing. First,
mm-hmm.
the dead in Christ will be raised, and then we who are alive and remain in Christ. What? Will be caught off the earth
instantly.
At that time. So it's going to be a generation of people, a group of people, a huge number, they will never go to heaven by the way of the grave. They're just going to be caught off the earth like Elijah. This is what this example was that the Lord revealed. It says right here, after 6 days, which is after 6,000 years, you know, when Jacob's trouble comes. So we have an interesting thing with all this. We look at all this just to understand this. And the thing about John the Baptist even. So let's do that. I'm going to back up and go back to Elijah the last book of the Old Testament, or the first covenant. I'm going to turn back over to Malachi. And I want to show you what this says over here so we have a full understanding of this. I'm going to read the scripture here that the Jewish people hang on to, and they have for
mm-hmm.
years, and they still believe this. When they do their Seder, they do this. Verse 5 of chapter 4 says this, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Okay? So, glory be. And so, this is an interesting thought here of all this. Well, let's go back here and see in chapter 3 now of Malachi. Look what the Spirit of God spoke through Malachi. And you know what Malachi's name means? A messenger of God. That's what it means in the Hebrew. chapter 3 of Malachi, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's fire. And he shall sit as a refiner, and a purifier of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. So it talks about what Elijah was going to come to do, this Elijah. Well, we see this right here. And of course, the Jewish people for years just thought it's going to be Elijah's going to come back to the earth, and he's going to be at this Seder at the end. But I believe the Bible just showed us right here that John the Baptist fulfilled all that. It's amazing when you think about it. And thank you, Lord Jesus. I had a note here in Malachi chapter 4. This was going to happen at the Passover and at mid-tribulation, which begins the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble. So this is an interesting thought when this will happen at Passover. We can receive that now from Revelation chapter 11. Let's go look at this real quick for a moment. This will prove to you the seasoning of all of this. I'm going to go to the book of Revelation with you for a moment. And God has this all under control. Aren't you glad that he does? He knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, it's right here in chapter 11 of the book of Revelation. I'm going to start in verse 6 in chapter 11. It says, talking about these two witnesses, these have power to shut heaven, and it rained not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over water, waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now, a lot of people's perceived in all this that this is going to be Moses and Elijah again, but he doesn't mention their names. And verse 7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. Well, who's the beast? This is the false Messiah. It says he will ascend out of the bottomless pit. Is he going to be resurrected out of the bottomless pit? No. What is it? The beast that ascendeth, it means shows you there's a spirit behind it that's going to be brought back into power again, ascends out of the bottomless pit and shall make war against him. He's going to come in and operate through men and all through Satan, and that's what he's going to do. And he's going to make war against the saints and shall overcome them and kill them. Now verse 8, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. All right? Now, where was that at? It was in Jerusalem. And they are the people, and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelleth on the earth. And so we go through all this and we see this, and let's go on. Verse 11, and after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a voice from heaven, here we go, a voice again, saying unto them, come up hither, just like it says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe comes, and so on. So we see all this, what's going to happen here. When these guys are going to lay in the street for, what, 3.5 days, and they'll be resurrected, and I believe it's showing us right here at mid-tribulation. When do they exchange gifts and all that in the Jewish history and all that? It was during the time of called what? A Purim. This was 30 days after Purim. This was mid-tribulation. So we can see the timing on this. And so we see these two men, and we have all these thoughts about these two men. Who are they? It doesn't tell you who they are, but we've assumed certain things, that it's going to be Moses and Elijah, because of the power that happened back in that day when heaven was shut up, didn't rain for 3.5 years, and see, even the waters were turned to blood. And that's what they alluded to. But could there possibly be two more people that will appear in these last days with the same anointing, the same spirit upon them that Moses and Elijah had on them. Amen. Just like we just read over there in Matthew chapter 17 about the Elijah to come, Jesus said he's already been here. His name is John the Baptist. And so we have a lot to look at with all this and understand what God's wanting us to know. There's a lot of prophetic things that needs to be revealed in these days, that we've had some teachings for years and years. Are those teachings really the truth? You know, are they really the truth? And we even have people question what it says over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read this, Jesus was helping Paul write all this by the Spirit. Verse 14 says in chapter 4 of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them that also which sleep," means are dead in Jesus, "will what? Will God bring with him? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord," I marked that in my Bible years ago, "that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." That we're not going to proceed before them, those that have died. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God." This is the last trump. This is on Rosh Hashanah. It's the last trumps we're going to talk about in another time. "And the dead in Christ shall rise," what? "First." I love that. "Then we which are alive," that means alive in Christ, "shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So he's not going to come back and put his foot on the earth, is he? We're going to be taken up to the sky to meet him in the air. And I like verse 18. "Wherefore," Paul says, comfort one another with these words, knowing that we're going to be gone when all this trouble comes. And so we have so much to talk about with this, and that we need to understand and know. And there's been a lot of misconceptions with this, when this is going to happen, or it's not going to happen, or whatever. We have all the misconceptions. But the Bible makes it quite clear with the time of the year when all this is going to happen. So we just have to continue to pray. Trust the Lord.
Amen.
Could he come this year in the fall? We know the time and season when this is all going to come to pass. Well, we don't know, and the equation is what year we're on for sure, do we? We don't know. Could it be this year? Could it be next year? Maybe it's going to be the next Shemitah around 2022. Who knows? You know. And I kind of incline looking to the next Shemitah, which is going to be around 2022. That could well be. And so, you know, how I come to that conclusion real quick, I'll just show this to you real quick. I'm not going to cover the whole teaching, but I'll just show this with you. The Lord showed me this back a long time ago. But let me just show this to you. It's in the book of Hosea. Get through Daniel here.
Yeah, while you're going there, we haven't mentioned your book in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
That you have a book called Pictures of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's about the end times. And it covers all the feasts of the Lord.
That's
it covers
right.
The calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Can you mention calendar? I thought about it because we need to know God's calendar.
That's right.
It covers the calendar. That's the very first chapter.
Gives us times and seasons.
And it has all the feasts of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of charts in your mm-hmm. in your book. And it's I would call it a college education on the feasts of the Lord in the end times, and what God is doing in these days. You know.
That's right.
Where were you going to go?
I took them to Hosea chapter 5, and I want to show you something here.
Because
we get ready to close here. Got about 15 minutes.
Hosea chapter 5.
Verse 15 says, "I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They shall seek me early." So he's going to go back. So it's a picture of Christ. He came to the earth. He went back to where he came from. And, of course, there was an affliction came because they didn't believe in him. And then it tells you in verse 2 of chapter 6 that after 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. This is talking to the Jewish people. So this tells you that from the time he went back to be with his father, after his death, burial, and resurrection, it tells you it's going to be 2 days. That's a period of what, prophetically? 2,000 years.
2,000 years.
So if we go from the year 30 AD, when Jesus went back to be with his father, we go 2,000 years, we come out to 2030. We back up 7 years for the tribulation period. We come around 2022, 2023, which is the next Shemitah.
So we're not naming a date because we don't know the hour or the day. But the Bible says that we should know the season. And so, you know when the winter, spring, summer, fall, you know the season. Well, the feasts of the Lord are set up according to God's seasons. And so they don't always fall on the same date. You know, certain holidays, the pagan holidays, they always fall on the same date. For instance, Christmas always falls on the 25th of December. Well, no matter what day it is, but the feasts of the Lord, they fall on a certain time, and they it's according to the new moon, because the calendar that the Jewish people or the Hebrews, they God put them on was a lunar calendar, which the very first a new moon, and they go by the first day of the month is called a new moon. And then the 15th day of the month, that's always the full moon. So whenever you see, we got a full moon now, or we did have, or we still have a full moon now, you know, the moon goes dark for like 2 or 3 days, which is a picture of that darkness too. You can think about the darkness, you know, when Yeshua was in the grave, it was, and when he died, actually it was dark. God supernaturally caused it to go dark. And it wasn't on a new moon at that time. It was during the time of a full moon, because he died on the 14th of Nisan, which is the 15th of Nisan would be a full moon. So he actually died during the time of a full moon, because he came to fulfill. He was a fulfillment. See, the full moon's a picture of the fullness of God. He fulfilled his destiny. He fulfilled the plan that God had for him in his lifetime. He fulfilled it. He did everything that he was supposed to do. He completed his task. He did the work that God had called him to do. And that all happened on he rose in the grave on the 17th of Nisan. And we've talked about this many times, about all the different things that happened on the 17th of Nisan. You know, they came through the Red Sea on the 17th of Nisan. And different things happened during these different times throughout the seasons, the dates. So God is God likes numbers and dates, and this book that Pastor Gene has done, it's a whole teaching on all the feasts of the Lord, and also on the Sabbath. You know, the church today, they don't even honor the Sabbath. Much of the church does not honor the Sabbath, and they think that Sunday is the Sabbath. Well, Sunday is not the Sabbath. Sunday is the first day of the week. It always has been. It always will be. Jesus rose on the first day of the week. There's nothing wrong with going to church on Sunday. There's nothing wrong with honoring God on Sunday. Every day is the Lord's day, but Sunday is not the Sabbath. See, we've been told in the Ten Commandments in Numbers, we're told to honor, to remember the Sabbath. That was one of the Ten Commandments. He said he didn't make it a new commandment, but he said to remember it, because they knew that the Sabbath was instigated or started. Right at the very beginning in Genesis, in the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis 1, when God rested, didn't he rest? He rested on the Sabbath, and he made, and it's a holy day. And so we're to rest, because God has given us the Sabbath to rest. The Sabbath was made for man, not God didn't make it for himself. He doesn't need to rest, even though he rested. It says he rested, but it's an example. Yeshua is always an example of the things that we're to do. So it was a day of rest for mankind, that we might be strengthened in the Lord, that we might be refreshed in the Lord, that we might be able to go forth and do the things that we need to do the rest of the week. So the Sabbath is always on a Saturday. And so I believe that we need to honor the Sabbath. We need to honor the Sabbath. And that's why we have made some changes in our church, and we do honor the Sabbath. We'll come together and we'll worship and we'll pray, and we do the Shabbat on Friday night. You know, the Sabbath starts at sundown on Friday night. And that's another thing we're kind of mixed up on. We always say that the new day starts at 12 o'clock midnight. Well, not according to God's word, it doesn't. It starts at noon, at sundown. So at sundown, my daughter has some chickens. It's so funny. I said, you know, you can learn things out of from animals. My daughter has some chickens, and they want to have, you know, natural eggs and all that thing so they can eat. And this is their first experience on raising chickens. And I was looking at them, and we were talking about the chickens and what to feed them and what to do with them. And I noticed that the chickens, just as it was getting dark, they all went up and got together to roost. You know, I said, well, they're going to bed so early. And she says, yeah, they always go to bed when the sun goes down. I says, well, isn't that interesting? Even the chickens know when to go to bed, you know, but we don't. We stay up till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. I mean, you know, the news at 1 o'clock, you know, people stay up late when we really should be sleeping those hours. We should be resting, because he's given us that time for rest. Praise God for that. Amen. So that's what I was saying about his book, that we really... It would be awesome for you if you would. I know you would be blessed. And there's charts in that book, and And I know that you would be blessed by that book, and you would learn a lot about the feasts of the Lord. It's very important. I just want to read this again, Pastor Gene. It says here, Jesus, over here in Isaiah, I must read verse 15 in chapter 5. It says, I will go and
return
to my place. So where is his place? His place is in heaven till they acknowledge their offense.
So what was their offense? Rejecting the Messiah.
And who is he talking about? He's talking about they are the Jews.
Jews, that's right.
The Jews. They are the ones who... The priests and the one, because we read that back there in Matthew, they were the ones that came against Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Peter said, oh, no, that's not going to happen. But, you know, it did happen.
Sure
and,
did.
And Jesus spoke about it. And he says, until they seek my face.
That's right.
So we know that there's many Jewish people now that are seeking his face. I think about a man over in Israel. His name was David.
Davis.
He just passed away.
Davis.
And he and his wife left America, left America, New York City, was sent over there by
David Wilkerson.
David Wilkerson's ministry. And his wife is a Jew, and they went over there and they made Aliyah.
That's right.
And started a church right there on
Mount
where
Carmel.
Elijah was. Right there on Mount Carmel. And they have an awesome church there. And, you know, they minister to Jews and Gentiles and to Arabs.
Palestinians.
And they have all different, and they translate in all those different languages.
Yeah.
And so here, and there's a lot of Messianic congregations that have grown. And there's a lot of them in Israel and Tel Aviv and all over in that area now. So they are starting to acknowledge him and seek his face.
Hallelujah.
And acknowledge their offense and seek his face. And says, and in their afflictions they will seek me early. So, you know, many people are returning, making Aliyah to Israel. And the enemy wants to afflict them, for sure. So he goes on and says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us.
This is referring to Jacob's trouble now.
That's right. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days.
2,000 years.
Yes. Will he revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. That's going to be forever.
That's right. 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm. Then shall we know if
we
follow
to be with
on
his Father.
To know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. The latter and former rain, what, in the same month?
That's what it says in the Bible.
In the same month.
Because the calendar's been changed.
How is that going to happen? Well, you've got to know about the calendar.
That's right.
So that's why you really need to Pastor Gene's commentary on the calendar and his book about the Feast of the Lord. You know, that book is only $25 plus about $4
shipping. For shipping and handling.
And you can call us at area code 772-285-7007, and we can have that book out to you. You could have that book by next week. That's area code 772-285-7007. And you know, many people are taking this book and they're teaching it. You can follow right along and teach it. It's all the scriptures are in there, and everything. You just go line by line, you know, study it out. Get
mm-hmm.
two or three people. There's a gentleman in Fort Lauderdale. He's been teaching it in his Baptist church for many years. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's not a book that's talking about, you know, the Holy Ghost or different things. It's
prophetically
only talking about prophetic things
from the Word of God.
From the Word of God and the feasts, and also the feasts of the Lord, all the feasts of the Lord. So that would be a great help for you to understand the Jewish mind, I think.
Amen? An interesting thing with this verse 2 in chapter 6 right here, it says, mm-hmm. after 2 days will he revive us. It says, in the third day. Most all other Bibles say, on the third day. In the third day is the proper translation. Think
mm-hmm.
about it. If we go 2,000 years from the time that Yeshua went back to be with his Father in 30 AD.
We'll be in the third day.
We'll be in the third day, according to this.
We'll be after the second
okay.
day.
But then the resurrection doesn't come until when? Until when? 2,000 years from the time that Jesus went back to his Father would be at Passover. So we have to go, what, 6 months to the latter part of the year when we come to what? trumpets. That's the resurrection day, I believe. So that's why it says in the third day, but in the third day. So it's, the word is so clear what God's trying to tell us with all this.
So clear. Amen.
And so here we are. You know, we don't know. We know that, like we mentioned a while ago, we know the time, the season of the year, but we don't know for sure what year we're on. You know, the calendar's been played around with a little bit too, but I don't think it's that far off. But anyway, and we got this Shemitah year coming up in 2022. In the fall, it'll become, 2023 with the Jewish people of that year. So could it be this year? We don't know. But we got so much in the Word to look at and to study and put in our heart to understand that God has a plan. And we hear all this mishmash about stuff. If we could just get back to looking at what God told the Jewish people. You know, we take the first covenant, and we have so many people just... They're talking about things in the first covenant that doesn't relate with the New Testament, what's going on today. There's some patterns sometimes. We know the patterns are there. But he's talking to, who's the Lord talking to through all these prophets? And all? He's talking to his people,
Israel.
The Jewish. It's Israel. He's talking to his own people. Amen.
And where's Israel now? Israel's all over the world.
That's right.
Israel has been dispersed. They're all over the world.
Our Jews are scattered
and
everywhere.
And so many of them are going back to Israel, but going back to Israel and to Jerusalem.
That's
because
right.
Why? Because God is calling them home. And so there are many people who are Gentiles or who are Christian, who are believers, and who are trying to help the Jewish people to get back
to
home.
Get back
because
over
there may
there.
Be a day where it's going to be difficult for them to get back there.
That's so right.
If they're supposed to go and they got the means to do it, they need to be able to say, lay down, like Jesus said, lay down all these things of the world and be obedient. Do what God's called you to do, because he's calling many of his people back home to
That's
Israel.
Right.
He dispersed them. He said he would call them back. And so, you know, if it stirs in the heart first. Things stir in the heart first, and then people have to make a decision.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we got to make a decision because we're just about running
out
of time.
Yeah, we are.
Well,
we have another less than 2 minutes.
This is Pastors Gene and Donnie Hilton, mm-hmm. and we'll maybe go on with some more of this next week. But we're here every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 noon until 1 o'clock. You can also listen to us on WCNO.com. That's WCNO.com. You can go back and listen to what we said today if you'd like. And you can tell your friends and your neighbors, wherever they may be, that they can listen to WCNO.com. And I pray that they will be blessed as well. We also have services here, our meetings with God here in Stuart, Florida, at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And we're on Kenner Highway in the Monterey Plaza. So you can give us a call. We meet every Saturday at 7 p.m. And we meet on Saturdays at 4 p.m. And we meet Sunday morning at 10 a.m. This afternoon we will be talking about having a video by Perry Stone. And I know you'll be blessed by it. So our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. That's area code 772-285-7007. And if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, this is a good time to do it.
That's right.
Just bow your head and ask the Lord to come into your heart. Repent of your sin and turn and follow Jesus. He said, follow me.
That's right. So we're honored to be here with you. So as we close this program every week, we talk about raising the standard. That's the name of the program. If you got some questions, I'll be glad to try to answer
Amen.
Those for you. If you get the book, it answers most of it for you.
Amen.
And so as we tell you every week, we love you. We're on this program because we do love you, and we want to see the standard raised in the body of Christ. And so we tell you to look up, because your redemption draws nigh. What do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
Got it.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.